Hello, we had a couple people join us.
Hi, it's Pat Hillman.
Bill Barnett.
Hello.
No.
Kathy and Sean are here.
Hi, Kathy.
Maybe it hasn't started.
Hi.
Hello?
Nunez.
I'm sorry, I couldn't catch that.
Oh, it's Chris Nunez.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Has the WebEx meeting started? We're having, we're not able to hit the join button.
It has started.
Huh.
So I don't know how much we're going to need that today, but I can go ahead and get on there as well.
Yeah. I'm in, but I had to start it a couple times to get it to work.
Okay. We'll try that.
And if not, I think the way that Ernest was finally able to get in last time was to click on that second link in my email and then to enter in that meeting number.
That worked for me too, Jill. I'm in the process of doing that right now.
Okay, so in the, I forget what the meeting number is. Let me check here. I can tell you. 732-310-110, and you can just enter that and get to the meeting as well. And that's also in the email I sent this morning. But when I did log in this morning, a new little quick applet needed to be added, so maybe that's the glitch. If you have, like, pop-up blockers or something enabled, maybe that's – who knows?
Jill, you're the host, though, for it, correct?
But if someone else needs to show their screen, I just click on a different button. I've got Dr. Barnett, Dr. Nunez, Dr. Wozniak, Eberhardt, Nofas, Hammond, Matson, and O'Leary Moore showing up on the screen for WebEx so far.
Hmm. Right? Yeah, mine's not. I don't know why it's not working.
I'm there, Jill.
I'm in, Jill. This is Dan.
Great. Yep, your name just popped up. But again, Jennifer, like Dr. Thomas mentioned, we might not be needing it much this morning anyway. But we should still figure out why it's glitching for some people. Okay, so should we do a roll call?
Yes, so Ed's not going to be on the call this morning, so this is Jennifer. And I'll just run through. Is Michael on?
Jennifer. Michael, I'm on also.
Okay.
I'm almost back at my office, so it's a little noisy. I'm going to mute.
Okay. All right. And let me know we have Bill. Is Ken Jones on? I have Kathy. Shauna. Is Elizabeth Sell?
Elizabeth's not going to be on the call today.
Okay. So you're going to be – okay. So you have Chris, Jeff, Sarah. Is Tina on? Or Tina's not going to be on. Tatiana or Peter?
I'm here, Peter.
Oh, hi, Peter. Deepak? Johan?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and I have Tom and Kathy. Faye? John?
Hello, this is Hannah Kinney.
Hi, Hannah. This is Jennifer Thomas. Ed's not on the call today, so I'll be running it this morning.
Oh, okay.
Dan, you're on. Susan Tapert? Okay, so We'll go ahead and get started. I know on the agenda, the first item was the NOFAST slide collection. We have had gone through, I believe we had gone through everybody's slides, and at this point I'm just waiting for the final revised versions. Kathy, I did just get Kathy, I got yours, and Peter, I got yours this morning. So I'll be adding those into the overall talk. Did anybody have anything that they wanted to go over on those slides at this point?
Did you get that map slide I sent you? It's the bill. I sent that to Ed only because
I didn't get that.
The sites.
If you can upload it into the Dropbox, into the uploaded slide file, that would be great because then everything is in one location.
Okay.
And then I can get all those incorporated.
I'll put it there, but I won't put it into the slide deck. How's that?
Yes, exactly. If everyone can just, with the revised slides, just upload them to that, within the Dropbox folder, there's a file that says upload here. If you upload them there, then I will put them all into that final talk. So you don't have to worry about putting them into the talk at this point. But once I receive all those, then we can finalize them. And if anybody has any comments on the general overall talk that's up there now, it's called the CFAS slides set. Go ahead and email me with any comments that you have. But I will update the revised ones that I just received yesterday and today.
Okay, you have mine now.
Okay. Let me check here.
Atiana's on. I'm so sorry.
Hi. Ed's not on the call today.
Oh, good. I'm dealing with a student crisis, so I'm so
sorry. Oh, okay. Okay, so like I said, I will take those revised ones. Those of you who haven't sent your revised slides, if you can upload those as soon as possible, then we can get the final set completed for Kathy and Tom. The next agenda item then, I guess, is just to do some updates on people's progress and issues that have come up. So we'll just go through each of the PIs. And Sarah, why don't we start with you?
Sure. So the neurobehavioral project was slated to start data collection on December 1st, and we have run through our reliability for definitely for sure two sites, the Minnesota site and our own site. I believe we've also received materials from the USC site, and the Minnesota and San Diego sites are cleared for data collection. San Diego has initiated data collection, and Minnesota has subjects scheduled already, which is great. We've been working a lot with Informatics, trying to get the database in place, and my understanding, I'm sure Bill can update us, is that the input tool is either ready or very, very, very close to being ready, but the upload tool is not yet ready, and that's what we're going to need to enter our data. We're hoping to have that by the meeting in January so that we can start uploading our data. We haven't had updates in a while. We did a local training. We had people from all the sites come to San Diego for a two or three day training, and they all were sent home with all the materials they needed for testing. They prepared their psychometrists for testing, sent in videotapes. We've reviewed them, as I mentioned earlier, and that's where we're going. So we're up and running, at least in a preliminary way. We've been communicating with Tatiana about our data collection for DNA and 3D imaging. I'm sure she'll have something to say about that. And then subjects that are eligible also get brain imaging. So that's the older subjects who are not excluded from imaging. We have a paper that we've had several papers accepted recently, but we have one that's just about to be submitted and another one that's on the way. So we're making a lot of progress, and I think that's probably the extent of it. If anyone has any questions or if I forgot anything, just let me know. Nope. Okay. We're good.
So this is Bill. As soon as we get the input tool done, then we can start on the upload tool. And I think that's a good schedule that you put out there.
Okay. Great. So our plan, just for I think Bill already knows the plan, but our plan is that when data are entered into the are uploaded into the central repository, we are going to determine whether they meet our criteria for not a lot of missing data and fall into one of our subject groups. And if they do, they then get counted and then they get put into our tallies that we will report every month, which is why we really want our upload tool ready, because we won't count our subjects until they're in the database and verified. So we'll be keeping track of that at every monthly conference call, you know, on a monthly basis.
Okay. Any other questions for Sarah? So, Tatiana?
Okay, so she sounded much more prepared, like she knew that this was coming up. Cheating. So let me tell you what we've been doing. So indeed, Sarah's correct. So we have been resupplying sites with saliva kits, and one of the questions has been, why are we recollecting saliva? And the answer that I'm going to give, and I think is the right scientifically, is that the amount of DNA you can get from saliva varies, and so we think it's beneficial if we can collect additional saliva samples to increase the amount of DNA that we'll have on subjects. And so that is, so we're going to continue that. We have to supply sites with saliva kits starting to see subjects. So that's sort of one area. I think probably the other primary area is the question of being able to obtain images. So we've been talking about where we currently have cameras and where we need to have cameras. And as part of our renewal, we had budgeted to purchase a camera, and that is in process. We're also hoping, and I can't remember if there's somebody from NIAAA on, is as part of our carryover, we also wanted to purchase additional cameras just because we have additional sites up and with some of the studies going on in South Africa. So we're hoping with that carryover that will actually ease some issues we've got with some problematic cameras that are starting to act up, and also the ability to have more cameras around to collect larger numbers of images in sites that have a pretty steady flow. I think that will really help sites. We've been sort of tabulating as everything is dependent a little bit on the U.S. sites with when Sarah goes up and when the collection starts, we tie the image collection with that. So I think we'll be ready to do that as well. So those are kind of the logistic issues in terms of science. Is Peter on the phone?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so he can brag. He can brag in a moment. I'll turn it over to him. I'll let him give his good news. The other piece that we've done is we requested data from PATH for the subjects that we've seen for the one-month visit and for the 12-month visit, and we just received yesterday the initial data set, and some of you may recall we can't get alcohol exposure data, but we've been able to start to get some growth parameters, and we're hoping maybe this will allow us to revisit the question of maybe getting some alcohol exposure data. So that has been obtained. I don't know if Peter wants to – how about you just say your good news, Peter, and maybe if you want to say a few words about – I don't want to put you on the spot either. So if you want to add anything else about what you're working on, and maybe more importantly, what you'd like to have looked at the meeting in January.
Okay. I'll take up the Tatiana's mention of the past data. We have several hundred now of those images at 1 month and 1 year. And we just did some preliminary analysis on those, and it's looking good, and you get some very nice examples of facial growth and development over that 12-month period. Of course, one of the problems with that data is going to be the fact that we don't get the alcohol exposure information for a couple of years or so. So doing detailed analysis is going to be somewhat problematic in trying to, for instance, normalize against controls when you don't really know who is a control. But that's something we need to think about. And to cope with these large numbers of images, we've been doing some improvements to our software and algorithms. And we had a very nice test of this recently when somebody gave me 5,000 faces in a large data set that's based in the UK. And I was able to cope with half of them. And then I ran out of memory on the computer, and we've just been putting in some new chips today. So we're going up now to 4 gigabytes of RAM, and we hope we can actually get up to more than 2,500. I think eventually we'll want to go into tens of thousands, I imagine, but we're making some progress on that. We've also been designing some new algorithms for coping with multiple components when the components are not registered, for instance, from the same source, like you might get with the mouse data, you get a face and a brain that are registered. But in human data, we might have separate MRI images and separate 3D photos. So we've been thinking about how to pull those two data sets together so we could do correlations of shape of face and brain. And with Shona and North Carolina people, we've been investigating the possibility of semi-automating the brain segmentation. And with colleagues here at UCL, we've managed to put up a pipeline of processing that will take some existing manual segmentations and then induce automatically segmentations of other images. And Shona's quite pleased with the results of that so far. We've actually got some others going through that this week, and we'll test them further. Then finally, on the paper front, we finally got our pediatrics paper through the mysterious reviewer number two, although it's not quite so mysterious to some of us, but we've actually now got that through, and I hope that will be available in the new year sometime. So that's my summary for the moment.
This is Bill. So how much, I'm sorry, how much RAM did you move your system up to?
48 gig.
48 gigs. Okay. So if you need bigger, we can help you.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. That sounds really good. Any questions, other questions for Peter or Tatiana?
I have a question or two for Tatiana.
Okay.
You mentioned the saliva kit. Was the idea to just get more samples from more subjects or to get more saliva from specific subjects?
Actually, it's kind of both. So we want to get a new saliva sample on new subjects, but I also would like to get additional saliva from any subject we've previously collected, just because the amount of DNA is variable. Mm-hmm. We've averaged about 100 micrograms. I'm just really greedy as a geneticist, so... Rather than saying to the site, I want you to recollect on these four people, which I know is possible, it just seemed advantageous to get additional sample while we had the opportunity.
Yeah, and Tatiana, just as a follow-up for anyone listening, that makes it really critical that subjects have the same subject number.
Yes.
I talked about this on our neurobehavioral conference call last week, but it's really, really important for any subject who's already been seen. They have to have the same subject number, because otherwise you won't have any idea, and you know none of our data will be able to, you know, we'll think they're a completely new person.
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, we did get our new vials, and we did do our collections last week.
Good. Yeah. And I guess I don't know if I missed this, Peter. Do you want to say anything about the fact that at the meeting in January you're hoping to get some additional feedback from kind of broadly from the CFAST group on some of the software you're using?
Oh, yes. You're right. I'd forgotten about that. The idea is that we're going to produce a tool that people could use to visualize the sort of facial dysmorphism in a particular individual against some background controls. And what we'd like to do is to hand this out to people and then get some feedback on how useful it is, or what, you know, how the interface could be improved or whatever.
So we're hoping, I just wanted to make sure we said that explicitly, because as the agenda is being developed, we just wanted to make sure there was a little slot in there for that.
Okay. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
I'll make sure it's in there.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Peter or Tatiana? Okay, so... Shauna and Kathy.
Okay. Well, just echoing what Peter just said, we've been working on, well, they have really been doing all of the work, trying to automate some of our manual brain segmentations, and we have been really pleased with how those results are turning out. I think it will ultimately end up saving us a ton of time. In addition, we have completed scans from our AIM-1 studies looking at the gestational day 10 acute exposure and gestational day 11 and a half exposure. We've done scans on about between 50 and 60 fetal mice, scanned 5 complete litters that were alcohol exposed and 3 complete litters that were controls. The scans are looking really amazing, so we have high hopes for that data. In addition, as far as our AIM-2 studies go, looking at DTI and connectivity and critical thickness, the 9 Tesla scanner over at Duke just went through a major upgrade, and so I've just been taking a look at some of the images that are coming off of it, and they're looking spectacular. So we've begun generating litters to provide animals for those studies as well. We have a new postdoc in our lab who will be working on a lot of the AIM-3 studies, and she's been here for about a month, and we're getting her up and going, and she's been working out some Golgi staining techniques to start assessing the cortex in our animals. So,
what is her name, Shauna?
Her name's Markota.
Okay.
Markota Gilbert.
Great.
And she'll be at the CFAS meeting with us in January.
This showed me yesterday some Golgi staining that she's done on the adult mouse brain that is just breathtaking, just absolutely gorgeous. So she comes to us with a background looking at the brains of songbirds. So learning how to deal with mice is something new for her, but she's going to be really good. So I think that's probably it for us.
Okay.
We have one question. This is Dan. Shauna, you mentioned that you scanned whole litters. I've asked this question before. Are you noting the uterine horn position of these fetuses as you pull them out?
Kept track of that in the past and hadn't ever really seen any association between the severity of the effect and uterine position. It might be a good idea as we continue these studies to keep track of that. For the litters that we've scanned so far, we haven't, but we certainly could.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea because even if there aren't differences, it would be important to be able to say that, and as opposed to with the route of administration, that there may be differential effects across the two
right.
sides of the horn. So
right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other issues or questions for Sean or Kathy? Chris, do you have any updates on the imaging project?
Sure. So right now we're working with the different sites who are all at different stages of setting up their scan protocols and starting to see subjects. So Minnesota, for the most part, is all set. They have their protocols and are currently collecting data. Our human phantom, Catherine Narr, was there last month, and we've looked at their pilot and phantom data, and everything is the way it should be. We're currently working with San Diego on reviewing their protocols. They did a pilot, and there were some issues that we're currently resolving with them. Our human phantom is scheduled to be down there on this Friday, the 7th. And as far as Emory, we're currently waiting for their IRB approval, and as soon as they've got that, then we'll be working with them on setting up the protocols. I also wanted to make an announcement that Max Orozco is a new staff member who's going to be taking care of a lot of our administrative tasks here. So you should be receiving emails from him asking him for verification from your IRB as well as other information that we need. So I'd just like to request that you please respond to his emails. And he's also setting up a scan log. We're going to be asking each of the sites to enter basic information about the subjects that they see regarding date, gender, the scans that they were given, as well as any notes related to excessive movement, repetition of scans, or anything that else that's important. We're going to be putting this on Google Docs or Google Drive. So it would be great if you could give us information on who to invite so that they could have access to the scan log. We're also in the process of setting up a website that will be taking over the scan log. The scan log is somewhat of an interim plan. So the website will have a place where you can register your different subjects. It'll also be a portal for different resources, as well as a place where you can easily upload all of your data. And then finally, from a scientific perspective, we are currently working on an analysis of longitudinal fMRI, with South Africa being the primary site that we're analyzing, and we're doing some confirmatory analyses with San Diego and LA data. And I think that's it for us.
What's the ultimate destination for these data that you're going to have uploaded? This is Bill Barnett.
The ultimate destination will be for us here at USC, so all of the sites, Minnesota, San Diego, Emory, will be uploading their imaging data to our site so that then we can do the analyses.
Okay, will those ultimately end up in the central repository?
Some of the data will be in the central repository, but this is raw imaging data. So these are just the images that we need to process. And then once we have some of the volumes and thickness for the different MRIs, that information will be put into the central repository.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you can send us images too, but we'll take just the derived data. That's what you feel is important to share with the consortium.
Well, we'll be doing all of the analyses here, so that's why it makes more sense for us to have the data, because we'll be doing the actual work with it here.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to share data that can be used profitably by other studies. You know, not to share, and it's not necessary to share stuff that, you know, you guys are the only ones that really, it's only relevant to you, right? So that's just what I was trying to get at. The stuff that's worth sharing, we're happy to work with you on, and stuff that you guys just need to process, that we don't need to be involved in that.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Yeah, would that actually include kind of duplication of, I mean, it sounded like you were asking for some subject information as well. Would that be duplicated information that would be also uploaded to the central repository or completely separate?
I'm not quite sure I know what you're asking.
So we're going to be asking for very basic information, so we'll just need a subject number, but we'll also need to know which scans were done or not done, and we'll need to have information specific to each scan. If there's excessive motion, if a scan needed to be repeated, this is all stuff that we use when we're doing our analyses.
Okay.
Any questions for Chris?
This is Sarah. I have a quick question. Chris, the subjects, presumably they will also have data entered into the demographic database, so that would be, maybe this is what Jennifer was thinking, that would be where, like, date of birth and whether they were exposed to alcohol and other data would be housed, and that is in the central repository, as well as, you know, any neurobehavioral data in the neurobehavioral database.
Yes. I think we're asking to put it into the scan log because from time to time we like to do preliminary analyses, and it's just helpful for us to know who the subjects are, but it's also helpful for us to keep track of what subject numbers each of the sites are currently at.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to figure out, if that meant that the PIs are going to basically be putting the data into two different places or not. But it sounds like you really want separate type of data.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there will be basic stuff that will be repeated, like subject number and maybe date of birth, but I think that'll be it.
Okay, anything else? Jeff, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, not necessarily. I think from our perspective, we have subjects scheduled and ready to run. So from the imaging side, we're ready to go.
Okay. Bill, did you have any updates?
Bill Barnett, because sometimes
yes.
Bill Dunkey's on this.
Oh, sorry, yes, Bill Barnett.
Yeah, no problem. So as Sarah mentioned, the neurobehavior phase 3 input tool is just about done, and then we're going to be moving on to the upload tool after that. And then we've also, the infant neuro project is pretty much tested and completed, and we've got about 300 records coming in from that. That's Tina's project. And then there's a dysmorphology 3 neurobehavior tool that we're also doing for her. And we're working on finalizing the data dictionary for that. So those are kind of the three projects that we're banging out right now for various research projects. And I think once those are done and we have the upload tool for Neurobehavior 3 done, you know, we'll be looking to, we'll have some capacity to move on to some other projects if for example, there's some new projects that are ramping up.
Okay.
So we can discuss more in January on that.
Okay.
That'll be a good time.
Mm-hmm. All right. I heard some people joining. I don't know if Ken or Tina joined us.
No, that was Bill Dunkey accidentally hanging us up here.
Oh.
Okay. My apologies.
That's fine. I just wanted to make sure if they were. I don't think either of them are on the call. So any other issues or updates that people want to mention before we move on to the last items on our agenda? Okay, so just a reminder, I'm sorry, yeah?
Do the developmental projects have any updates? Or?
I didn't have Deepak or Johan on here. Did they join us?
I think Dr. Eberhard is on.
Oh, I'm sorry, Johan, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, you want an update? On the?
Yes, please, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I thought I was getting away. Anyway, our project, what we originally proposed was to obtain mutants from the Zebrafish International Resource Center based on them having being implicated in craniofacial or neural development. And so we had selected mutants to look for gene-ethanol interactions on the basis of that. So between the time I submitted that proposal and we got the funding, Zerk decided to freeze down most of those lines. So what we did, we stepped back, and actually I think we took a better approach. So we actually ordered every mutant that they had available live, which turns out, I don't have the exact number here, but somewhere around 30 mutants, that then were screening for several phenotypes, body length, eye size, ear defects, any increase in cell depth, craniofacial defects, neural defects as evidenced by the tubulin staining, and any defects that are visually apparent to the developing cerebellum, which we can screen fairly easily in zebrafish. So we have all of those mutants now in our facility, so they come as usually pairs or a couple pairs of adults. So the first thing that we did with all of them was to make an in-cross to increase our stock size. And we've screened now about one-third of those mutants for one or more of these phenotypes of interest. We have right now three potential interactions that we're confident about. They're fairly interesting, in my mind anyway, BANGL2, which is involved in the lymph planar cell polarity pathway, gives us a craniofacial defect, apparently, when it's treated with ethanol, a defect that's not present without ethanol. Dicer, which is involved in microRNA synthesis, is giving us an apparent interaction with ethanol in the craniofacial system. And the last one, which I think is really evidence for why taking a step back and collecting all the mutants was a very worthwhile thing, is MARS. It's a gene actually I know very little about. It's giving us a craniofacial phenotype, and it's not expressed in the head. It's actually expressed very early in development in what's going to be the tail. So why we're getting this phenotype
from it is puzzling at the moment. But for all of these, what we're so based on the numbers, we think we have an interaction here. But so what we're doing now, we have to work out the genotype protocol to validate these interactions. That's what we're doing on those right now, and then, of course, working through the remaining mutants that we've had. For AIM-2, where we were dealing with these 10 mutants that we'd obtained from a forward genetic screen, we were proposing to identify what the mutations were in them. And so right now we have one of those mutants that's been crossed into a genetic background that we use for genetic mapping, and we've submitted it for whole genome sequencing. So our goal is to apply whole genome sequencing to identify the mutants in all of them, as opposed to our standard, more laborious genetic mapping technique. So if this we're waiting for those results, if that comes back promising, then we should be able to gear it up for the other nine mutants. That's where we're at right now.
Okay.
Johan, what was the name of the second gene, the one that was affecting microRNA synthesis? I didn't catch the name of it. This
it's
is
CICER.
How do you spell that?
D-I-C-E-R.
D-I-C-E-R. Oh, Dicer. Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you.
That's interesting in a lot of ways, Johan. And my recollection is some of the processing steps prior to Dicer, one in particular, I'm blanking on its name, when mutated has profound effects on brain development.
Droxa, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, but I think there might be multiple names for some of these things. One that reflects this phenotype, but it's been a while since I thought about it. So, anyway, that's intriguing.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. So the next item, I guess we need to just remind everybody that the progress reports are due December 17th, and Jill, maybe you have a few things to add to that.
Yeah, just make sure you email them to me and just use the template that I provided at the bottom of the email. It has the numeral, Roman numerals, and it tells you if it could be an Arial and 11. It'll be great because then I can just put them all together. So let me know if you have any questions. And, you know, obviously we're in the beginning stages here, but just try and talk as much as you can about the progress that you've made and where you see yourself going through May 31st and into even beyond that. So that would be great. And, again, in the publication section of that, you want to include everything that's in the works from submitted to print. And then kind of along the same lines, another agenda item is the Google publications. And I realize that maybe some of you aren't familiar with the fact that we have a lot of the information that we work with together in, it's now called Google Drive, but it was formerly Google Docs. You can still get into it the same way. So you all should have access now to the CIFASD publication Word document, and it's just a document that lists all of our publications that have come out of the consortium projects by year. And then towards the middle of that document, there's a submission area. So what I did is I added some bookmark links. So if you go to that document, you can just click on something. If you have a paper that's being submitted, you can just click on that link at the top, and it'll take you down to that section so you don't have to scroll through the whole thing. And same with conference abstracts or presentations that you're making. So, that is what is going on with that. But again, just like with the data into the Google Docs, I don't know about a publication unless you put it in there. So please make sure they're getting in there. And if you have any questions about it, just go ahead and call me or email me, and I'll help you look at it. And then, Jen, did you want me to talk about the meeting maybe a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, so the January meeting is upcoming, and all of you should have received an email from me with the Hilton Rockville reservation list. And the only thing you really needed to check on there is just to make sure your arrival date and your departure date were correct. And I did receive one email from Dr. Wozniak about adjusting that, but I didn't receive any other modifications that were needed. So if anything needs to be changed, please let me know by Friday, this Friday if possible. When you check in, you'll just use your credit card and everything will be all set up that way. And then if you guys want to start emailing me your itineraries for flights, I can let some of you know if some of you are arriving at the same time and you want to share a cab or ride the metro together. I can send out a spreadsheet that just has when people are arriving and what airport. So DCA, IAD, BWI, and then what time and what airline would be awesome. Or you can just forward me the whole thing and I can pull out the data I need. And just as a reminder, the travel day for most of you is going to be Monday the 7th. The meeting will be on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. The first 2 days we'll be meeting at NIAAA offices, and then the third day we'll be meeting at the Hilton in a conference room so that you guys don't have to lug all of your luggage over to somewhere before you have to leave. So we got a great rate and a lot of things included. Your breakfast is included, transportation to the NIAAA offices in case it's bitterly cold. So we're pretty pleased with all of that. So does anyone have any questions about the meeting that I can help address?
Jill, is there going to be an agenda?
There will be. I'm drafting it this week, and then Dr. Riley and I will more than likely finalize it next week. If anyone has any ideas about things, like Dr. Farood mentioned on the call, you know, something for Dr. Hammond to talk about, if anyone has anything in particular that they definitely want, you know, beyond just our normal updates of projects and things like that, please email those to me. The sooner the better. I'll be drafting that, and then Dr. Riley and I will be looking it over on Monday. So if you can get those things to me, I can incorporate them into the agenda.
Any other questions about the meeting or Google Docs?
Oh, in addition, I guess, beyond the publication Google Doc, the project progress document is ready for phase three for the projects that we're going to be looking at. They're primarily clinical projects where every month or whenever there's data that's been collected, the PIs for those projects or whoever they've selected to get into the Google Doc for them will be updating them. And you all have access to see that. There's a data tab for each site and then a chart that shows kind of what the goal is for their collection and where they're at. Those are all prepared. So if anyone sees any errors or wants it changed to look a little bit differently, just email me and I can make those modifications.
Okay. So do we have any new business or anything else that we need to discuss today? All right. Well, thank you, everyone.
Good day.
And we will have look forward to seeing everybody in January. And have a great holiday.
Thanks, Jennifer.
All right.
Thank you.
Good day.
Bye.
All right. Bye.